Podcast.
This year, Glasgow will host the 26th UN Climate Change Conference, COP26, and climate change has probably never had such a high profile. In November last year, Argyllshire Council adopted its own decarbonisation plan that set out our achievements to date and our intentions for the future. We're working towards government targets to reduce greenhouse gases by 75% by 2030 and net zero by 2045. Here's Ross McLaughlin, our lead on climate change, talking a little bit more about some of the work that we've been doing.
So hi Ross, you're becoming an old hand on the podcast, back again. This time in terms of climate change and sort of topical for us because you've been working on our council decarbonisation plan.
Yep, thanks Pippa, and happy new year to you and all as well, and thanks for inviting me back. I obviously didn't say anything too offensive last time round. It's pleasure to talk about climate change. Obviously it's a really important topic for our council, but for our nation and the globe as a whole. I think if anything, the last year has shown us that from a pandemic, everyone's actions really do impact on each other and really do impact on intercontinental and internationally as well. And climate change is a similar sort of strain that what we do here can have global impacts. And I think climate change is one of these things that act local, think things you do locally can impact on a global scale. So our council, we've been doing a lot the last 4 or 5 years. We've had a climate change board that has been in place since 2017. That is made up of a number of different departments who will input and look at areas of action that they are taking within their own fields. And the Climate Change Board brings it together collectively, and we look at our overall strategy and the difference that we're making with different types of projects. So that Climate Change Board's been up and running since 2017. And
maybe in sort of, because I think you've highlighted an important point. You know, you're our sort of lead, but it's it's an issue that's cross council. But you, in setting the scene, it's maybe worth just outlining sort of where our biggest impacts are, because I know you've done that analysis of, you know, where are we actually making a negative impact on climate with our emissions.
Yep. So one document I think is worthwhile people becoming familiar with is our new decarbonisation plan, and that outlines a pie chart of where our biggest emissions are. And we, like other local authorities and every other public sector body, actually report on an annual basis what our emissions are, and they are broken down into different chunks. And for us, by far our biggest contributor to CO2 emissions is our refuse and municipal waste function, so basically our curbside function. So that equates to about 51% of our total emissions. That obviously is something that as an organisation we can have an impact on encouraging our communities and our businesses to the volume and the type of waste that is produced, and obviously trying to reduce waste or to recycle waste where possible. But ultimately it really needs our communities to come along that journey with us and change the behaviours. So that's probably, well, that is our highest source or largest source of emissions in terms of greenhouse gas emissions. We've also got other factors or commitments there, like our energy use, that includes natural gas and electricity, and then our transport emissions as well, which has obviously been, again, significantly impacted by the last 12 months and the reduced travelling that we've had. So we operate on a framework by which we report back to the government on an annual basis.
Yeah, and that, I mean, waste is an area I've worked in some depth over the years, and you know, I think people sometimes think that it's the driving around collecting the waste, but it's the methane that's produced by landfill that's just so much more damaging than carbon dioxide is, that mean that's in that big sort of impact, that big impact category. But you know, as you say, we report back to the government, but there's a, you know, essentially there's a double whammy with those things, isn't it? Because we, you know, we pay a penalty effectively for the carbon dioxide that we emit, as well as that, you know, the obvious impact on the environment.
Absolutely. It's a very complex field and a specialism in its own right, the emissions around waste. And I know the team are have got their new waste strategy, and the ban of municipal waste, the BMW ban, coming into effect as well. It's a high a priority piece of work for the council as a whole, and one that will have big impacts on our overall carbon footprint going forward.
And so I think for you would start to touch on the work that the Climate Change Board has been doing in the various projects looking at trying to have a positive impact on emission levels.
So the Climate Change Board, like I said, is made up from a number of key individuals from different services, so it's cross-cutting of the council, but we do come together to try and have common themes, track progress on certain projects, and ultimately report back on those successes and plans on an annual basis. We have got a number of really exciting projects that have been underway or have been completed. Just picking a couple off the top of my head, like the installation of a wind turbine at Glengorm landfill site, Miss Hooley. Miss Hooley, how can we forget Miss Hooley? And also a number of solar installations, principally on our school estate, which generates over a megawatt of renewable energy. So we don't just think about our carbon footprint as the emissions that we produce, but also in the positive interventions that we can put out there in terms of a generation of renewable energies. We've got and we're blessed with really positive natural capital in Argyll. Our weather might feel inclement in certain times, but the wind energy and the solar, when we do get it can be quite uninterrupted. So through wind turbines or the solar photovoltaics, where we have been producing that good level of return. Also, the use of new technologies like LED street lighting has been a big one and big rollout over the past number of years, and people, I'm sure, will not have missed the change from the sort of yellowy or old-fashioned lightings to the more directed, lower energy consumption light fittings across much of our area, and which is continuing to run out. So these are all core projects that our Climate Change Board have overseen over the past number of years, and that has had a reduction in our overall carbon footprint. Over the past 4 years, we've reduced our carbon footprint by about 5,000 tons of carbon dioxide a year in the past 4 years, and we're just in the latter stages of completing our return for last year, and I'm expecting that to again show another notable reduction in our carbon footprint. So we're definitely moving in the right direction, albeit much more still has to be done. And what I have been saying to our elected members and members of our climate change board is this is a marathon, not a sprint, and we have to pick off projects and work towards our goal of being a carbon neutral organisation, a net zero organisation by 2045 in manageable chunks.
Yeah, I think I think you're right. We often forget when, we do these kind of long-term strategies, where we came from and how much has been achieved. Because, the other one that, I think probably a lot of people don't know about is the number of our buildings that have got renewable heat, so wood chips or air source heat pumps and things that, it's a bit like the solar. It's not very obvious if you don't know it's there, but it's, there's been a lot of investment to date on those kind of technologies.
Certainly, yep. That's another good example. We have reduced our energy consumption in our buildings. I'm just thinking, over the last 15 years, reduced our fossil fuel consumption by over 70%. And we've now got 13 biomass boilers installed across the patch. So a real mix of different technologies and different buildings that are benefiting from the way that we've gone about that. And we're looking at it not just solely on a carbon reduction point of view, but there can also be some cost savings as well, because the cost of electricity has only been going in one direction, and if there's opportunities for us to generate our own heat or power, so be it. And where there has been opportunities to create income through feed-in tariffs, we'd also been able to glean those, most notably through the wind turbine project as well. So a really varied stream of work coming through the Climate Change Board.
Yeah, I mean, I think that concept of in what we call invest to save, the LED lighting project is a good case in point. That is basically funding itself through the savings that we'll make and enabling us not just to replace the lamps, but to then upgrade some of the columns and things. So, I think you've got more of those kind of projects in planning or under development for the future through the board.
Yep, we've certainly got a number of projects within the decarbonisation plan that was discussed and approved at the 26th of November full council meeting. We agreed a number of actions within that an action plan. And a number of those are direct at new technologies or emerging technologies and the rollout of new opportunities to reduce our carbon footprint. For example, a new electric vehicle infrastructure strategy, so encouragement of more electric vehicles. And I hope people may have seen some of our lovely new Mitsubishi Outlanders or Toyota Priuses or Nissan Leafs out in the road that have got not only our Argyll and Bute logo on it, but also our climate change board theme and branding around a climate friendly Argyll and Bute. So projects around electric vehicles feature quite heavily, as does projects around greater energy efficiency in our buildings, and again further reducing our requirement from fossil fuels and gas and coal, where that is still used in a number of our properties. So yeah, we're continuing to develop the range of projects that we've got in the pursuit of reducing our carbon footprint overall.
And I know we've been talking about the council's emissions, but you're also working with some of our partners and looking at how we can work with the private sector around this stuff as well.
Absolutely. So one of the key commitments of our decarbonisation plan is that telling people what we are doing, but also engaging with them, because we are just one cog in the wheel of this, and our role is hopefully going to be acting as a catalyst to ask people to consider their actions, consider their behaviours. And our community development team are actively out there trying to engage with communities to firstly record all the good work that is ongoing out there, because our communities, there are some fantastic projects. There's certain towns that are plastic free, or have groups that are looking to develop plastic free strategies, undertake beach cleans or other travel to work initiatives. So they're mapping those, but engaging with the communities so we can all move in the same direction. So yeah, we're part of the cog, but like I said, it's a global issue, and what we really want to be doing is acting in that leadership role, acting in that enabling role, so we can move forward together.
Yeah, and even one of our rural growth deal projects relates to looking at sustainable energy on Isla as well. So, you know, it really gets into all the work that we're doing, doesn't it?
Yep. There's a number of strands. Rural growth deal, also our COVID recovery plan as well. Very much one of the strands of that is based on a recovery of a low carbon recovery, and we again recognising the key natural assets that we've got in Argyll. Need to be playing to our strengths and using that as a basis to move forward, and that's why a number of the actions in the climate change action plan refer to that and look to take those forward.
Yeah, and I think you know, it's probably worth highlighting why, you know, this could be you know, such a big bonus for us in Argyll and Bute, because we, as an area, we're pretty unique in terms of our carbon footprint, you know, in the UK.
Certainly, yep. We are Argyll and Bute as a region, not just as a council, as a region, have got the lowest carbon footprint than any other per head of population in the UK, and that's largely made up of our rurality, our high forest cover, which absorbs a lot of emissions, our high peatland cover, again for the same reasons, absorbing the emissions, but also our low industry makeup and emissions from that point of view. And the biggest contributors in our area tend to be from transport and through agriculture, but overall we are one of the lowest, and it puts us almost in a unique position that we may be able to become the first by a margin to become a carbon neutral region with not as significant intervention as some other regions will require. So there's potentially some opportunities around that in creating new offsetting of carbon sequestration industries through restoration of peat bogs or increased tree planting. And I think we're already starting to see some businesses undertake carbon sequestration work in our area. So there's certainly opportunities from that green recovery or technology point of view, if there is bringing together energy and heat shared systems as well. So I think we are in a really positive location from a natural capital point of view to be able to grasp that if we angle it appropriately and can grasp it.
I mean, I think things, you know, that when you pull all that together, it potentially is some unique points and marketing points or a unique location in the UK that we can really try and leverage that benefit. I mean, already we've seen the Argyll Coast and Islands as, I think they're the first ever UK mainland Mission Blue Hope Spot that recognises our unique marine ecosystems. And, you know, those environmental credentials can be a real asset for us to market the area in the future.
Yep, no, I think we are well placed. Other things that I know are ongoing is obviously our marine environment and development of seaweed. Seaweed, I think, is scientifically now becoming almost as exciting a prospect for carbon capture than woodland planting. So with SAMS, the European Marine Centre, looking at quite closely at seaweed, there might be some opportunities around that. Hydrogen is an emerging field as well, but hydrogen is very electricity intensive, and we were now getting some applications for hydrogen production facilities, particularly in the Kintyre Peninsula. As well, aligned to existing or proposed wind farm developments. We've also got a number of haulage contractors who are going through pinch points at certain locations. So I know that there is some looking at, can we convert, for example, timber haulage into hydrogen vehicles, and they can refuel at set points because of the nature of our geography and the nature of some of our industries. So, no, quite a lot of exciting projects and prospects. But like I said, that some of these are emerging and entrepreneurial type disciplines that we'll certainly assist and be the catalyst for where possible.
Yeah, and I think you can talk about it in those terms. It just takes it so much wider than just climate change and being the right thing to do for that reason alone, but what it can do for the attractiveness of the area and the economic opportunities and that green recovery that you touched on, which is a real your national focus. You know, it just starts to ramp up all the reasons why this is, you know, has to be a golden thread that runs through everything that we do and the way in which we do it.
Absolutely, and I am in no way giving the full service to the Climate Change Board that I could possibly. Climate change is such a far wide ranging topic that I would need all 20 members of the Climate Change Board sitting beside me to give you a full answer. So I'm hoping I'm giving you as deep a response on things as I possibly can be. But it is a team approach, And that's reflected in the way that the leadership are taking things forward as well. So with the council leader being the lead for climate change, but each policy lead also having a core responsibility for taking it forward in their own portfolios as well, and a similar strategy applies to our council as well, whereas I'm the chair for the Climate Change Board, but other heads of services and our teams have got a responsibility to take it forward as well, and it permeates everything from the council as the way that we do business, but talking about education and young people as well, I think it's really important. Our education colleagues sit on the Climate Change Board as well, and we're already starting to plan for some exciting opportunities for the coming year, and integrating the passion, the opportunity that they have around climate change, and integrating some of the work that we are doing with them. We're looking at potential climate summits. We're looking at some spin-off activities from COP26. So we're expecting COP to take place in Glasgow later this year, and having some supporting events around that to really try and engage with our children and young people in our education, because they, as you see from a national perspective, are very motivated and very engaged about the topic, and rightly so. So again, everything from wide corporate touching on our activities of business right through to education and our young people as well.
Well, I think you've done an admirable job of representing the Climate Change Board, Ross. And as you say, it's a difficult area to, for any one person or talking from their own sort of professional perspective to pick up, because it's so wide ranging. But I think you've really captured just how broad it is for us, but also how exciting. And it's a good point to finish up on, is just that importance of it for the future and our young people, and the focus that they put on it. It's only right and proper that we should be thinking about that legacy that will be theirs in the future.
Yep, no, definitely, Pippa. I think it's really close to all of our hearts in the Climate Change Board. We've had representation from our colleagues in education, there's some fantastic things happening in our schools around it as well. Just over the festive period there was working with local industry. I saw for Roo Primary School, I'd been working with Babcock from the naval base along the road from them, planting hundreds of trees off the back of a climate change project. So learning a bit about climate change, doing an outdoor activity, health and well-being, and educational benefits as well as climate change benefits. So and that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's positive food weeks and waste reduction weeks that have been going on, and weighing waste, food waste after meals and things like that. So yeah, definitely one for the future, and certainly something that, like I said, as we're on that marathon towards carbon neutral by 2045, keeping engaged with our communities, but importantly, keeping engaged with the young people is going to be very important for us.
Yeah, and I know it'll be close to your heart as a new dad. So and very, very well done, despite any deprived sleep or anything, Ross.
Two under two. What on earth was I thinking, Pepper?
Well, you listeners don't have the benefit, but you're looking good on it, Ross. I can see over the video. It's you don't look like you're suffering too much, and you're hiding it well.
That's what the new glasses are for, Pippa. They just reflect the bags under the eyes.
Well, congratulations on that, and thank you very much for representing the Climate Change Board, and I think you've done that well. But we must also call out the good work they do on this as well. So, thank you for waving the banner on their behalf.
No, no problem. That's much appreciated.
I hope from our discussion you'll get a sense of the ambition we have. Our area's long been a leader in wind and hydropower, and coupled with our high forest and peatland, the area's already one of the lowest net producers of carbon in the UK. Working in partnership, we hope we can really build on this, and achieve our net zero goals. Thanks for listening.
This podcast.